Well, I'm honored to be here this morning, and Pastor Mark and Erica and their family are been enjoying some time in Brazil, and so we certainly pray for them and lift them up, pray that they have had a wonderful time, but they'll also come back energized and refreshed and strengthened and all that good stuff, so when they return. So if you're a visitor this morning, now I know some of these visitors, all right? These are my groupies on the front row. So anyway, but some of you may not, I don't know everybody. So if you're a visitor this morning and you don't like my preaching, just come back next week, because the real pastor will be in the house, right? And so Pastor Mark and Erica, aren't they a blessing? They are a blessing, and we just thank God for them, and so a church alive is worth the drive. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So this morning I get the opportunity to be with you and to bring the Word of God, and we'll just believe for the Holy Spirit to minister to people this morning. Is that okay with you? We welcome the Holy Spirit in this place. Amen. Amen. So I've got a title for this message. It's called Submit Yourself to the Plan of God. And so we're going to look at some things this morning concerning that, what God's plan is. How many know that God has a plan, but also the enemy has a plan? And too many people are comfortable and content with less than God's plan. And so we're going to look at these things this morning, but before we do, I have a joke I want to tell you. How many of y'all like good, clean Christian jokes? Okay. All right. So I think that you'll like this. Well, at least I know the men will. Now it's not a slam on women. Okay. So it's not one of those. All right. Yes. Well, but women, be quiet in the church, so. Boo, boo. I'm off to a really bad start, so. So here's the joke. It says, there were two men, one young and one old. They were in a large department store where they accidentally bumped into each other. The older man said, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm actually looking for my wife. I got separated from her somewhere in the store. The younger man laughed and said, that's funny, I'm looking for my wife too. Maybe we can help each other find them. The older man said, well, good idea. Yeah, what does your wife look like? The younger man said, well, she's about 30 years old, tall, beautiful, blonde hair, blue eyes, has a great figure, and she's wearing a beautiful red dress. Then he asked the older man, well, what does your wife look like? The older man thought for a moment and said, never mind about my wife. Let's go find yours. Well, can we give it up for Jesus this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's get started this morning. We're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And we read this. It says, and we have a more sure word of prophecy. Peter writes, which you do well to take heed as the light that shines in a dark place. I want you to look at that scripture for a moment because, you know, this church, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We're in a season, really, with the body of Christ, where there's prophetic words, prophecy that's given. Paul says, "Don't forbid prophecy. Prophecy should be in the church." The Bible says that prophecy brings encouragement, edification, words of comfort. And so today we see many churches, many places around where people get a prophetic word, okay? And that's good. It's good to have those things in the body of Christ. But Peter says this. He says, but we have a more sure word. In other words, we have the Word of God. We have the Bible. Aren't you glad for the Bible this morning? Aren't you glad for the Word of God? And so if there's any issue, any situation that comes up or arises that there's a question, what do? We go to the Word, right? The Word of God. And so Peter is addressing that. He's saying, listen, we have it. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the Word of God, which is the truth. And this is what he says, and take heed to the Word of God. Everybody say, take heed,
take heed
to the Word of God. And so we know that as we read the Word, the Bible says that the entrance of His Word, what? Brings light. It brings, what? Understanding, okay? And so whether we realize it or not, there are areas of our life that we walk in the light. We understand what the Word of God has to say. But there are also areas that we're not so enlightened, you know, things that... that are in the Word of God, they're there, but we just haven't seen it in the fullness of the light. And so there's areas that we can improve in, areas that we know about, but then there's other areas that we can get greater understanding. But regardless, God wants us to live where? In victory. We were singing about victory this morning. Amen? He is our champion. He's undefeated. We're undefeated. We sit together in heavenly places in Him. And so God wants us to live in victory all the time. So I'm looking at people this morning, and I see people who are victorious, people who are more than conquerors. Come on now. He has made us to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. How many of y'all choose victory? How many of y'all like to win? All the time. And all the time. I like to win. Amen. Amen. And so we're going to look at some scriptures as we go on further. Look with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 9 says, Jesus says, I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Yeah, isn't that a great verse? So Jesus is the door. All of us this morning, we went through the right door. We found the right door at some point in our life. Okay. I bet if I were to go around the room, I could ask everybody, do you remember when you went through the door? I remember. I know what age I was. I remember the service that I was in. And I came forward in that service and gave my life to Christ. And so all of us in this room, at one time, we went through the door. And that door is Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for that? And so he says, anyone who enters by me will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. It just so happened that I just returned last week from Egypt. Egypt has been, of course, it's a Muslim country. But we've been working there for a number of years. And it was tremendous. It was a blessing to see all these big, big churches that are springing up in a Muslim country. Now, when you would go to most countries in the Middle East or in Muslim world, churches that would be hidden, would be underground or in a back corner somewhere. But now, as you go through Egypt, there's this huge. Now you've seen. Huge mosque, Islam, Muslim mosque, how they try to make them nice and big and huge and all that, Well, there's Christian churches that are springing up just as big with big steeples, okay, that are lighted up in the dark that are, it's just really a tremendous thing to see right now. And so President Sisi has been allowing a lot more churches to be approved. And so he's encouraging other leaders, Saudi Arabia, other places to encourage Christianity and to allow more churches to come into those Islamic areas. And so it's a tremendous blessing. And so Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Then in James chapter 4, verse 7, we read this. It says, therefore, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, I pulled out that scripture because, you know, the first thing that we're supposed to do in life is to submit ourselves to God. So we submit ourselves to God, and then the Bible says, then you resist the devil, and he will flee. And so we're going to look at that this morning as we talk about submitting ourselves to the plan of God. All right. Like we said, the devil has his plan, but God has a greater plan. How many believe that God has a greater plan for your life, right? And so what we need to do is every area of life we need to examine. Does this line up with the Word of God? Is this what the Word of God has to say? All right. And so, like I said, most people are content with the devil's plan. You know, we live in a world right now where most people don't understand that God has a plan for their life. And so they just are content living any old way. But I don't know about you. I don't want to live any old way, right? I want to live on a higher plane. I want to live on a higher level. I want to live the way God wants me to live. How about you? I want to live the way God wants me to live. And so we're going to look at these areas this morning. And so we know about salvation. All right. Most of us, you know, John 3:16, we could all quote it by heart, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so we know that God's plan for salvation is he desires all men everywhere to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Everybody say all men, come to Jesus. Yeah, that's what God desires. That's his plan. That's why he sent Jesus. All right, so we know the plan of God when it comes to salvation. All right, so what about healing? What about healing? So I'm going to make a statement to you, and it may just kind of shake you up a little bit. When it comes to healing, God's plan for your life is not for you to have cancer and then to be healed. God's plan for your life is for you to walk and live in divine health all the days of your life. Now, I say that because we become conditioned. All of a sudden, we compromise and we compare our age to someone else's age. And we're like, well, we're doing pretty good compared to so-and-so. But see, when we look at God's plan for healing, we look at Isaiah 53, where Jesus bore our sicknesses. Amen. He carried our diseases. And by his stripes, we are healed. Now, in the Hebrew language, that word bore, it means a complete removal. In other words, when Jesus went to the cross, he completely removed. He bore our sicknesses. He carried our diseases. And by his stripes, we are healed. Amen. Psalm 91 says, no plague shall come nigh your dwelling. Mm-hmm. Everybody say, no plague, no sickness shall come nigh me, my family, or my dwelling in Jesus' name. And in Psalm 91, it says, with long life, God will satisfy me and show me his salvation. So see, when anything like an attack comes, we have to say, does this line up with God's plan for my life? You know, about 2 years ago, I had a went to the eye doctor and perfect vision. He says, you're just fortunate at your age, you know, have perfect vision. I've had, you know, better than 20/20 all my life. All right, 2012, 2015. And so he's like, perfect vision. This is amazing. And so then I went back a year later, 1 year later, and he says, it looks like there's some cloudiness forming in one of your eyes. Okay? And so he was trying to tell me, yeah, you know, this happens. The eye changes form or shape and da-da-da-da. And so, I could see a little bit of that cloudiness when I begin to drive. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And so I took to the Word of God and I said, well, I look in the Old Testament. Moses is, at 120, his eyes were not dim. So, you know, I could have accepted what the eye doctor said, and we're not against eyeglasses. We're not against, you know, anything that helps us. But I just said, you know what? I want to make a stand, all right? I don't have to necessarily accept everything. And, yeah, I could, you know, down the road, I could, you know, have a surgery or whatever. But, you know what? I'm just going to make a stand because I see in the Word of God that Moses' eyes were not dim at 120. And I'm half his age. He's twice my age, okay? And if he was twice my age and his eyes were not dim, then why should I have accept? All right, so I started believing God. I started speaking to my eyes, and I started did a little research, looked at some supplements, and within several months, all of a sudden, the cloudiness disappeared. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, that may seem like a little thing, but that's kind of what happens, right? In life, things come up. Things, you know, we get, you know, banged up. We get, you know, pain here, pain there, pain everywhere. We accept one, then we accept the other. Jesus bore our sicknesses. He carried our pains. Why? So we wouldn't have to carry them. So see, God's plan when it comes to healing is for us to walk and live in divine health, to live long and strong all the days of our life. But we have a choice, don't we? All right? So see, this as we get older, we have to keep renewing our mind. Renewing our mind, okay, to what the Word of God says. Deuteronomy 33, verse 25 says, as your days are, so shall your strength be. Yeah, the path of the righteous grows what? Brighter and brighter and brighter. Yeah, there's different seasons of life, but you know what? Let's contend for the best, right? Let's believe God for the best. We have a covenant. We have a covenant of healing. The world doesn't have a covenant. We have a covenant where Jesus says, I am the Lord, your healer. I am the Lord, your physician. And yes, if something comes up, you know, I'm a walking miracle. You know, 1987, doctor walked in and said, young man, I got bad news to tell you. You've got the fastest growing cancer in the world. You know, thank God for a family that we stood on the Word of God. We believed the report of the Lord rather than man's report. Come on. All right. And so by his stripes, we are healed. And by his stripes, what? I am healed. Hallelujah. And so during those times where you're attacked or symptoms come up, things that happen, yeah, he's the Lord our healer. He's the Lord our healer. But let's believe to live on a higher level, that God's plan for our life is to walk and live in divine health. Amen? Amen. Yes. Amen. How many of y'all believe that this morning? How many of y'all are in agreement with that? Yes. Say, that's God's plan for my life, to live long, to live strong, to walk and live in divine health all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I got into an argument with AI. I was trying out this new AI program on the computer, Claude AI. He's not saved. So I was writing, I was looking, working on this new book. It was, I got on my computer and I had some thoughts coming. I said, well, I need to get on the computer and just put these thoughts down real quick before I go to bed. Well, it was 1 o'clock in the morning and we were in a hotel, my wife and I, So I thought it was just going to be a few seconds, and then I said, "Well, I'm just going to put this with AI." Well, that was a mistake, because then AI says, "Well, you know that it's not God's will for people to be healed." Okay, so I said, "You know, I can't leave this alone." So I went through the scriptures, and he tried to use logic. He quoted all these theologians, and I said, okay, the rules of the game are you can't quote a theologian. You only can quote the Word of God. So then he started to come around. So he, every point that I make, he said, yep, I concede that point, yep. I can see that point. Yep, I can see that point, all right? And so I was like, yeah, this is beautiful, wonderful. I'm beating AI. My wife turns over. I mean, it's almost 1:30 in the morning, and I have my little computer on the bed. She's like, honey, what are you doing? I said, I'm having an argument with AI. Well, then AI, I thought, well, surely I'm going to close up this laptop. And then AI says, well, you know, Jesus was the only one who had authority over sickness. I'm like, uh-oh, we have a problem here. Houston, we have a problem. So then I had to get into that discourse, okay? Go through all the scriptures. Finally, he conceded, and he said, you have proved yourself to be more theologically sound than I am. And I have learned from this discussion, okay? So I'm like, okay, I beat AI. No, anyway, but it had been pre-programmed, okay? Somebody had gotten in there, and some Calvinist, anyway. So so hopefully he learned something, right? So, but see, you know, that's true. You know, in church, people have been told all kinds of things. But we have to go back to the Word. What does the Word say? What did Jesus do 2,000 years ago? Okay? We got to look at these things. And let's submit ourselves to God's plan. How many know that God's plan is a higher plan? God's ways are higher than man's ways. Amen? Amen. So the next, in fact, I'll just mention this. You know, we recently we went out of town with two couples, and the one couple invited us, and they said, "Well, this other couple, you know, the lady has Parkinson's, and they really need. You know, we're all on the same page, right? We're all on the same page concerning healing." And so we went away, and. So during the time, you know, each day we're talking about healing and how different testimonies and how healing belongs to us and any time we started talking on healing, then the lady got up and she left the room. So we're like, well, I thought we came kind of to minister to her. She's the one that's diagnosed, right? Well, by the third day, the morning, it was, you know, we were having breakfast, and we're going to be saying goodbyes very shortly. And Beth and I were thinking, well, this is the last chance. We got to, you know, so we started talking about healing again. And so then the lady stood up, and she started screaming and yelling at me and telling me I was a healing evangelist. I was a fraud. I was, you know, a hypocrite, all these different things. I'm like, where did this come from? And then she started talking about all these healing evangelists, how they're scam artists, they're frauds, you know, and different things. And so I realized, okay, we're really not on the same page. So she said, well, I've been rebuking this and all this, but I said, well, I'll pray for you. She said, no, I don't even want your prayer. She says, I don't even want any prayer. Don't even pray for me. And this is what she said. She said, because God has already spoken to me that I'm to suffer with this disease. You know, when God says, when someone says, God told me, it's not much you can say. So she went on, and I said, she said, no, the Lord has already told me I'm supposed to suffer. He has chosen me as a special vessel to suffer in his name, to suffer and to endure this illness, okay? And so I said, well, there's not a whole lot you could say, right? Not a whole lot you could really say. And see, she hadn't really submitted herself to the plan of God, because she thought God's plan was for her to suffer. But how many know that we're not to suffer what Jesus already suffered for us? Jesus came to give us an abundant life. That's the good news. Thankfully, we've been in touch with her. We've texted with her. So we see a little bit of an opening, okay? So we're praying for her healing. We're praying for her understanding to be enlightened. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? Amen? Amen. Let's go to the next topic. We're going to look at the blessing, being blessed and prosperous. How many of y'all believe that God wants you blessed? God wants you prosperous. Here's some scripture verses this morning. Deuteronomy 28 says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country. Boy, that whole chapter goes on about all the blessings. How many of y'all believe that God wants you blessed? Blessed and prosperous. Amen. Psalm 1 says, blessed, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law does he meditate day and night. For he shall be like a tree firmly planted, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Amen. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. You know, I was in Ireland, and I was in Belgium not too long ago, and there was some misunderstanding, some confusion about, you know, God's plan regarding healing and regarding prosperity. And a lot of rigid religion over there. People have been taught, you know, humility. Like religion teaches, you know, well, we'll keep them humble if you keep them poor, you know, all these different things, right? And so when I started talking to them about that Jesus is the good shepherd, now I'm looking at hundreds of farmers, people with sheep, people with animals. I said, the Word of God says that he's the good shepherd, and he cares for his sheep. So the condition of the sheep is a reflection on the shepherd. Well, when I said that, they all got it. They're like, oh, yes, of course, that makes sense. Because we're shepherds. We take care of our lambs and our sheep. We care for our animals. We want the best for them. Of course, of course, of course the Lord wants the best. He wants us prosperous. He wants us healed and whole and all of those different things. And so Psalm 35 says, let the Lord be magnified who what? Delights He delights in the prosperity. He delights when you're blessed. How many of you know, as parents, you delight when your kids are blessed? You always want the best for your kids. Come on now. Come on, let's get encouraged by these scriptures. So if you're living low on the totem pole, if you're being attacked with lack or poverty, let's say, wait a minute, this is not God's plan for my life. God wants to be blessed coming in and blessed going out. He delights when I prosper. Hallelujah. How many of y'all believe that this morning? Amen? Let's go on. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. Everybody say, makes rich. Rich is a Bible word. 2 Corinthians 9:18. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. Okay. Luke 6:38. Given it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Hallelujah. You know, I know a lot of times we don't like to talk about money in church, but Jesus did. Jesus talked about money. Now he says you can either love God or love mammon. Now mammon is the spirit that's on money. It's not money itself. It's the spirit of greed that comes alongside of money. You know, we know many people in the world that's what they crave after. That's what they go after, okay? In fact, years ago, I was a tennis pro at a very exclusive club in New York with all the Hollywood movie stars. So I could name drop this morning, but it's not necessary. But I can tell you that every day they walked in fear. They were so afraid that someone was going to take their money. All right, they had to check their bank account 3 to 5 times a day. Well, the Bible says that the Lord makes us rich and adds no sorrow, no fear. Come on now. Everybody say, no fear. Yeah, no sorrow. All right, because when you're blessed, guess what? God wants you to be a blessing. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look further. And so one of the things I love is I love how God talks, how God speaks. You know, it's not average. It's not ordinary. Come on. I mean, when you look at scripture verses, you know, like in Malachi, he says, prove me here. Come on, just prove it to me. Come on, prove it. See if I want not what? Open the windows of what? Heaven. He's going to open the windows of heaven. Pour me out, what a blessing. I can't even contain it all. I mean, he could have said, you know, well, you know, I'll bless you. Well, what does he say? No, I'm going to open up what? The windows of heaven. I think that's pretty good. Pour you out a blessing, okay? And you look at these scripture verses. All these blessings shall come upon you and what? Overtake you. Have you had any blessings overtake you? Chase you down. Run you over. You can't run fast enough. All right, they're running me over. All these blessings are overtaking me. I can't take it anymore. I mean, look at scripture, and God just has a wonderful, in the natural, the only thing we can compare it to is like a salesman that shows up at your door, and he's, you know, he's got all this thing. Oh, it'll fix anything. It'll do anything. You want, it'll make dinner for you. You're like, what? All these superlatives, you know. But see, God is not that way. And sometimes we need to look at what the word really says. It says God is able to make all grace abound. Amen. Everybody say all grace, abound. That you always having, come on, let's read it. All sufficiency may have an abundance for every good work. No, who talks like that? I mean, he could have said, "Yeah, you're gonna have enough to pay your bills," but he said, "No, God is able to make all grace abound, always having what all sufficiency." Then he goes on to say in Ephesians 3:20, "God is able to do exceeding abundantly." Who talks like that? Only God. Everybody say, "Only God." Exceeding abundantly. Above all. So just when you reach exceeding abundantly, then it's above all. Above all that we ask or think or imagine. So my question is, will you submit to God's plan for your life? We ought to cry out for more grace. Say, "Lord, just send more grace so that I can abound and have all sufficiency in all things." Okay. And I can abound to the work of God. And I can have exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask, think, or imagine. See, this is God's plan. But what we have to do is we have a choice. We can submit to God's plan. Or we can just put up with the ordinary. How many of y'all, but God wants you blessed? How many of y'all leave that this morning? Amen. How many of y'all put seed in the ground for years? And the Bible says, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So I believe that for the church, there's some reaping that's coming in. Come on. There is some reaping that's coming in because, you know, God says, "I'm not mocked. Whatever you have sown, that shall you also reap." And I tell you what, I love what God does. He says, "You give me a dollar, I'll multiply it." I mean, he multiplies 30, 60, and 100-fold. You know, how about if somebody came up to you and said, "You give me a dollar, I'll give you either 30, 60, or $100 in return." You're like, "What?" That's pretty good. That's too good to be true, isn't it? So we're changing our thinking this morning, okay? So let's look at this word, Zoe. Most of us have heard this word. We've been around church long enough. But Zoe, this is what, we'll start with John 10, verse 10. It says, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy." Jesus said what? "I am come that they may have life," Zoe, "and that they may have it more abundantly." Now, look back for a second. Talking about Jesus when he walked the earth, it says, "In him was Zoe, and the Zoe was the light of men." So when Jesus walked the earth, in him was Zoe. And what made the difference between Jesus and every other man was Zoe. Life. Life. So when people looked at Jesus, they said, "What is it? His words are different." And Jesus said, "Yeah, my words, they are spirit and they are life," or Zoe. There's something behind these words. So Jesus had it. And then John 5 says, "For as the Father has life," or Zoe, "in himself, he gave it to the Son to have life in himself." So then Jesus said, "I came to give you the same." So let me share with you a few words about this. Schofield, who was a famous Greek scholar, he said this: "There's no English word that fully expresses its meaning. Most Christians think of only eternal life as merely just living forever after death and going to heaven. But this word literally means the life of God, God's life. God has or is life. He gave it to Jesus, life, that same life. And Jesus came to give us God's life." That's even hard to comprehend, isn't it? It doesn't merely mean eternal life. So see, when Jesus came, he didn't come just to forgive us of our sins. That's good, right? Everybody say, that's good. He didn't come just to deal with the sin nature, all right, which needed to be dealt with, right? All right? He didn't come just to bear our sicknesses and carry our diseases, which is wonderful. But the reason why Jesus came really, really was to give us the same substance that he's made of in God the Father is made out of. Now that's some thinking there. It's the life of God. The God kind of life. All right? It's a substance that God is made out of. It's a substance that makes God, God. God has it. God is it. He's life. He gave it to the Son. And Jesus said, I came to give you the same life that God the Father and God the Son has. See, this word life is not bios. It's not where we get biology. Like when we look at creation, the trees, the grass, that's the bios. That's the life. That's another word for life. But this word is different. It means the God's life, the same substance that God is made out of. Can you see? That's on a much, 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 much higher level. Okay. All right. And so we received that substance, that life, the life of God when we got born again. But how many Christians to do are aware of that? They're walking around with the same substance that Jesus has and God has. Everybody say, wow.
Wow.
Say it backwards. Wow. You know, when John G. Lake was down in South Africa, he quoted Romans chapter 8, verse 2. You know, the bubonic plague was taking people's lives. People were dying. And he was helping bury the dead. And he took those germs. Those germs were touching his hands. And people came and said, how are you not contracting the disease? He said, because I'm not under the law of sin and death. Romans 8, 2 says, for the law of the spirit of life, Zoe, has set me free from the law of sin and death. And he said, Christianity is gaining an understanding of who you are in Christ, and that you're no longer under the law of sin and death. That when Christ Jesus came into you, he gave you his substance, his very substance, so that the law of the spirit of life, Zoe, in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Wow. We're still trying to grasp, you know, some of these things. All right? But we see more scriptures. John 7, verse 38 says that any man thirsts, let him come after me. Out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of Zoe. Rivers of life. Come on now. Rivers of living water. Come. How many of y'all are baptized with the Holy Ghost? You speak with other tongues. How many know rivers of living water flow out of your innermost being? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Then he goes on to say, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. Let's all repeat that. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has what? Set me free from the law of sin and death. If the same spirit that raised up Jesus dwells in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead will also give what? Life, Zoe, quickening. That's a constant quickening to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Hallelujah. And then we see in Acts, through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. They brought the sick out into the streets. They laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. You know, John G. Lake used to talk about, he called it the lightnings of God. He would say, when I pray for people, it's like the lightnings of God come upon people. We would call it electricity. We would call it the power of God, right? Charles and Francis Hunter used to describe it this way. They would say, it's like a force field. It oozes out of the pores in my skin. That's what Francis Hunter would say. It goes into my clothes. It's in my hair. It's all over me. They talk about this substance that was living inside of them. They were so aware of that. Just like Peter's shadow. They said, hey, I know what. Let's get Peter. Just bring Peter along here and just get some people who are sick and just get them close to Peter's shadow. They don't have to be on top of Peter's shadow. Just close to where Peter is. And guess what? They're all going to be healed. That's what we have. We have the same Zoe, life, the same spirit, same substance, which makes God God. God has it. God is it. He gave it to Jesus. Jesus said, I came to give this to you. And we sing this song. There's a river of life. Flowing what? Out of me. Come on, let's say it. There's a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. What? Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Come on, sing it. Spring up, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. Some of us need a little more springing up. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at their faces. Spring up, oh well. But that's that life. It flows through us. Abundantly. You know, I've told this before, but my daughter Madeline went to a college and she had a tennis scholarship. But the coach, before she was to go, the coach was diagnosed with lung cancer and given 6 months to live. So I told him a little bit about healing, but when I arrived, he was dying. He was on an oxygen tank, just barely breathing. And he said to me, I'm sorry, I probably won't be able to be your daughter's coach. I said, no, you will. You will be my daughter's coach, because we've looked at different colleges. I've settled in my heart, you're to be her coach. This is the school that she's going to. So you're going to have to live. He says, well, my one lung is 80% full of cancer. The other one is 40%. I said, I don't care. There's a river of life. Come on. There's a river of life. There's a river of life in us. Flowing through us. Come on now. Yes. Our hands are Holy Ghost jumper cables. So we all gathered around him, and I laid my hands on him, and I spoke life, and I commanded that cancer to die in Jesus' name, for resurrection life, resurrection power. Come on now. And we released the healing power of God. Well, as I didn't know if he was going to die in my arms or not, because Sometimes you feel something, sometimes you don't. But when I laid my hands on his body, his chest, it was like electrical current, okay? All right? You know, and you know, I was just hoping he could still breathe. Well, 3 weeks later, he calls me on the phone. He says, "Guess what, Brian? I went back to the doctor. I have a good report. There's absolutely no cancer in my body." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I said, "Well, then that means you're going to be my daughter's coach." And so he was for 4 years. And he went into experimental surgery. The surgeon opened him up, said, "I couldn't find any cancer. The cancer is completely gone. Your lungs are clear." And he's still alive today. That was 15 years ago. Come on. Praise the Lord. See, this is the plan of God for each one of us to walk and live this way. We have the same substance that Jesus had when he walked the earth. We have the same substance that makes God God. God gave it to Jesus. Jesus says, "I came to give it to you." So how many of y'all willing to submit to the plan of God where your hands are Jesus' hands? Your bodies are Jesus' bodies. Come on now. Everybody lift up your hands in this place. See, we're talking about submitting yourself to the plan of God. When it comes to our health, when it comes to our provision, our prosperity, and then it comes to Zoe, God's life, having God's life, having the life of God. There's a river dwelling in us and through us. Lift up your hands. Say this. Say, "My hands." Say, "Lord, today, I submit my life to you. I call myself healed. I call myself blessed. Lord, you came to give all these things to me. I believe with long life you will satisfy me and show me your salvation. I declare by your stripes, Jesus, I was healed. I am healed. And today I make a choice. I make a decision. I'm going to walk. I'm going to live in divine health all the days of my life. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No sickness, no disease can take my life, can stay in my body. I call my body healed. I will live. I will live long. I will live strong, and I will walk above the law of sin and death. I will walk and live God's purpose, God's plan for my life. I receive God's life, Zoe. It lives in me. It dwells in me. It works through me. Wherever I go, I'm a carrier of the same substance that God has, that Jesus has. They have given it to me. The life of God lives in me. It raised Jesus from the dead. It healed blind eyes. And I have it. My hands are Jesus' hands. My body is Jesus' body. Jesus said, "Believers, shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall be healed." I believe as I lay my hands on those that are sick, the life of God in me is released through me. And that life flows into sick bodies Sick bodies are made whole. They are healed in Jesus' name. I have it. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to walk in it. And I'm going to release it all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on now, let's give a shout to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on now, you can do better than that. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, the church ought to be a happy church. We got a lot to be happy about. Amen? Amen. So, how many of y'all got something this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord.